Welcome to the Ends of the Earth from CKLB Radio in Yellowknife. I'm William Greenland.
I'm Kirsten Murphy.
In the first half hour of the show, we fly over the Antarctic, drop into the Dene Leadership Meeting, and talk about trees.
I like it. In the second half of the show, Dene singer-songwriter Stephen Kakfui explains the origins of his new CDs. Note that's plural CDs. There's two. Electric Cars in the Arctic, and the chief of Hlutulke raises the cultural cost of losing elders to cancer in the Northwest Territories. All this plus music from Sarah Bareilles' Cashton and the Spinners. In fact, William, this little ditty I've dug up from the Spinners, I think is going to make you want to dance.
Oh, yes.
All right. We begin way down in the Antarctic, where NASA's IceBridge project is underway. The project involves a DC-8 airplane packed with state-of-the-art equipment flying at low levels over the western Antarctic. Scientists are measuring what's on and under the sea ice, which will lead to estimating future sea level rises. But they're not camped on the ice. They make the five-hour trip from Chile, take their measurements, and fly back. Dr. Michael Studinger is one of those scientists. He's a geophysicist with the Lamont Doherty Earth Observatory of Columbia University in New York. His job is to analyze the gravity data from the ground.
Yeah, Operation IceBridge tries to bridge the gap between ICESat, that's currently collecting data in space, and the follow-up ICESat mission that will be flying in 6 or 7 years from now. And between this, there's a gap in the satellite data coverage that we try to fill with airborne data. And in addition to filling the gap between the satellite missions, we can also collect data that is not possible being collected from space at the moment. So like ice thickness measurements and high-resolution gravity measurements is all kind of data sets that we can't collect from space at the moment and that are critical to model the response of these ice sheets to climate change.
And Michael, you're part of a team of scientists. What are you looking for?
I'm particularly involved in measuring the gravity field of the Earth. We have to spend a lot of time here on the ground to prepare the gyrometer for a flight. And once this is ready, we have occasionally one technician or scientist go to the flight to monitor the equipment. But mostly everything works fine, and we usually just send the gyrometer onto the aircraft and let it collect data, and then look at the data when it comes back in the evening and work often through the night and prepare the system for the next morning's flight. And the reason why we do this is we want to understand how deep the water is beneath the floating ice shelves there and the floating glaciers. So this is something a radar system unfortunately can't do because radar waves don't penetrate water. So a radar system that is also installed on board of the aircraft pretty much gives you the bottom of the ice sheet, but it can't really look what's beneath it. And that's what we use gravity data for. And the reason why we are so interested in kind of knowing how deep the water beneath these glaciers is because all the glaciers seem to be melting from below, which means the warm ocean water that's flowing beneath the glaciers is kind of melting the bottom of the ice there. And so this is a fairly important process that we need to understand a lot better in order to predict how these glaciers respond to global warming and increase in ocean temperatures. But in order to predict this behavior, we need to know how deep the water is so that we can actually model it more reliably and then be able to predict the response of these glaciers to an increase in ocean temperatures.
But couldn't you be doing this from the ground?
Yeah, to some degree, but it's incredibly difficult to work in this area since these floating ice tongues are right at the transition from the ice that's resting on rocks and then goes afloat. And so you usually have heavily crevassed glaciers, and it's pretty much almost impossible to stand on the surface of these glaciers. So most of the work actually has to be done either from aircraft or satellites.
So with your techniques, are you actually seeing through the ice?
Yeah, that's correct. So the several radar systems that are on board actually give you a very detailed image from the surface of the ice all the way down to the bottom of the ice. So we know how thick the ice is. And if we want to look deeper, we need gravity data. So the differences in kind of density between water and rock allows us to derive a picture of what's below the glacier.
The Antarctic is huge. Your group is focusing on the Western Arctic. Why is that?
Simply because from satellite measurements and previous airborne campaigns, we know that things are changing there rapidly. And a lot of the glaciers are thinning, and they are retreating further inland. And in addition to monitoring the glaciers, individual glaciers that we know that are changing, we are also looking to a couple of new glaciers and hope to identify possibly new hotspots. So it's part of a fairly big kind of monitoring program there.
Is the area that you're covering part of the Wilkinson Shelf or the Larsen Ice Shelf that we've heard a lot about?
Yeah, we will have a flight over the Larsen Ice Shelf, or what's left of it, in order to kind of map the thickness of the ice shelf and also kind of the glaciers that are feeding the ice shelf and see how they are changing. And we also kind of plan to fly over the glaciers that are flowing in the part of the Larsen Ice Shelf that doesn't exist anymore. Because we know that these glaciers kind of speeding up, so the ice shelf that existed there before until a couple of years ago was kind of holding them in place, and something scientists call a buttressing effect. And if you remove the ice shelf, then the glaciers behind it are starting to flow faster, which means they are transporting more ice from the interior of the ice sheet into the ocean, and the ice there melts and then increases sea level there. So this is a pretty important process that we need to understand in much more detail, and we need kind of longer time series of data in order to model these processes better.
And how then will your research, your measurements, help predict future sea level rises?
We are essentially providing the basic data that will go into modeling of ocean circulation. And the ocean circulation is a important part in the whole climate modeling system. Our kind of contribution to predicting future sea level rise is to provide them crucial data sets as input for the modelers who will use them.
So what do you do during the day while you're waiting for them to come back? Are you on the beach?
No, it's actually quite chilly here and very windy. So I actually during the day I work on data.
Michael, thank you very much, and good luck with your work.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye. Dr. Michael Studinger is a geophysicist with the Lamont Doherty Earth Observatory of Columbia University in New York. He's part of NASA's Operation Icebridge project in the Antarctic, and I reached him in Punta Arenas.